going to be talking about Passover, and Passover is coming up next week. And next Tuesday night, April 3rd, our program will be devoted to Passover, and I encourage our listeners to participate with us as we have a Passover service online, on the air. And then on Wednesday, April 4th, True News is going to close its doors, and we're going to celebrate Passover. This is the first time I've ever done it. I've known for several years that the early church participated in Passover, but being a Gentile Protestant, I didn't know what we were supposed to do. I knew that Easter was wrong, but I didn't know what was right. And so I've asked Pastor Malachi Yosef to come on the program, and we're going to talk about Passover. Brother, are you there?
Yes, praise the Lord. Hi, shalom to everyone from One in Messiah.
Pastor Malachi is the pastor of the One in Messiah congregation in Brentwood, Tennessee, just south of Nashville, Tennessee. It's somewhat choppy, but 90% of the message is in these articles. These are articles that were published by a Russian news agency in Moscow. And they've been published around the world, but they've not been published in the U.S., and that is that Russian military officials are saying they believe that the U.S. attack on Iran will start on Friday, April 6th. And in the article, the general mentions that this will happen just before the, quote, Catholic Easter. That's their phrase. Because Russia is Orthodox Christian, they're not Roman Catholic, and so they distinguish that this is the Catholic Easter. Now, that phrase to American Protestants is unusual, Catholic Easter, but that's what it's all about. It is a Catholic religious holiday, and the reason I'm bringing up this Russian news article is because they're saying that we're going to go into this war with Iran with a massive aerial bombardment. And this is going to be taking place between the Passover on Wednesday and the Catholic Easter on Sunday. And in fact, here's another article. This is out of the Sydney Morning Herald. It says, sources cited by the Jerusalem Post say that a U.S. military strike on Iranian facilities would probably be carried out before Iran has enriched its weapons-grade material. And it goes on, this article is talking about, the headline is, Fallout Fears Put Deadline on Nuclear Site Attack. And it says, a preemptive attack on Iranian nuclear sites may have to be implemented in 2007 to avoid the danger of serious radiation fallout. I don't know if the public understands that when you bomb nuclear facilities, the radiation is going to be carried up into the clouds, and it's going to circulate around the world. Now, Malachi, I'm setting the stage because I believe it's crucial that the end-time remnant church, the believers in the Messiah, the true Israel, I believe it's essential that the true Israel understand the significance of Passover. And when I say that there's a difference between Passover and the Roman Catholic Easter, I'm pointing out that the early church never participated in, quote, Easter, which derives its name from the goddess Ishtar. Now, I certainly, obviously, believe in the resurrection of our Messiah and our Savior. If we did not have the resurrection, we would have no faith. And of course, we celebrate the resurrection of the Messiah, but the early church did not, according to the records that I have read, the early church did not recognize a so-called Sunday Easter. It was introduced to the church by the Bishop of Rome. Now, okay, let's talk about Passover. What is the significance of Passover?
Okay, well, praise the Lord, everyone. Hi. Passover, Pesach in Hebrew, is one of the days that's, it's not a feast, but it's a day to be acknowledged. You know, I could like to preempt everything with a lot of people might be saying, well, maybe you, Rick, are getting a little bit too Judaizing, or maybe you have this Malachi on that's too Jewish. But I want to let everyone understand that the Bible says, if you read your Bibles, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 49, it says, there's one law unto the homeborn, the Ezrach, the homeborn, and the stranger, the non-Jewish person, that sojourns among you. There's only one law. And you can read that in Exodus 12, 49, Numbers 15, 16. There's one law and one manner shall be to you and the stranger that sojourns with you. And I'm not going to give you all the verses, but going right to the some of the letters, even James, the half-brother of Yeshua, says there's one lawgiver. Okay? So I tell people all the time, you know, just like it says in the Ezekiel, it says that if the stranger wants to join the people of God, great. It's always been that way. It's always been that way. And the Passover, of course, is a day to be thought about. And the only way you'd know about Passover, you'd have to first know that there's a calendar of God. Like today is the 27th of March, 2007. That's because we're all conditioned to use Pope Gregory's calendar. Of course, God has his own calendar. And, of course, today is the seventh day of Nisan, or Aviv in Hebrew. And you might say, well, where does it say that? Well, you go to the book of Esther, chapter 3, verse 7, and you'll see the word, it's the first month, it's called Nisan. And there's a whole study we can get into, not today, but about Nisan and the words Ha-Aviv, which are very beautiful to study. But God's new year is in the spring, and when you look out your window now, guess what? Everything's blooming. Everything's flowering. Everything's coming back to life. It's new. Like we had New Year's 7 days ago. I said, Happy New Year to everyone because God says His New Year is now. Again, everyone is brainwashed into the Catholic Church that has everyone doing New Year in January when everything's frozen and dead. So once you start understanding the calendars of and what calendar you're following, most people don't even know they're following a Catholic calendar, Pope Gregory, from the 1500s. Once you digest that God has his own calendar, then you start learning that, oh, in Leviticus 23, verse 2, it says, these are the feast of the Lord. Oh, you mean they're not the feast of the Jews? No. Are they the feast of Moses? No. These are the feasts of the Lord. And God says, even these are my feasts. So anyone that would have a curious mind, you'd say, well, I never heard of the Feast of the Lord. And that's what I think we're talking about today. We're talking about the spring feasts. You know, there's Mikra Kodesh, there are Holy Sabbaths, and of course, we're doing Passover, Pesach. We'll be doing that, of course, on, it starts on, let's see, April 3rd.
It's sundown on April 3rd.
Yes. And then, of
course, I want to devote today's program primarily to Passover.
Sure.
Because in the 12th chapter of Exodus, we are told the story of Passover. And as I said, the early church in the first several centuries only recognized Passover. There was no such thing as Easter.
That's right.
The Bishop of Rome that introduced this Sunday Easter concept.
That's correct.
And as I said, Easter actually is derived from the goddess Ishtar, which was a fertility goddess. And that's why we have the Easter eggs, the fertility eggs, and all these pagan rituals that had been brought into the church. I absolutely cringe when I'm driving down the road and I see a church with a sign that says, the Easter Bunny will be here this Saturday.
It's very sad.
You know, sad. It's just...
I take it as people are spiritually intoxicated or delusional because everything of God has been deleted. Like this Ishtar, you know, everyone should know that that's even in the Bible. These gods that are pagan. And, of course, it's so silly to think bunnies lay eggs is ridiculous.
Look, I'm going to, I might make some people upset, but I'm going to tell you, if your church is having an Easter egg hunt...
It's ridiculous.
And have having the Easter Bunny over to the church this Saturday. Your church, or next Saturday, your church is paganized. I mean, I'm just being blunt with you. You are participating in a pagan ritual.
You know, I'll tell you something, Brother Rick. The way it works is, you know, when, like an audience of people listening, there's going to be some get upset, there's going to be some depart, but there's also going to be some that listen and go look these things up, because we're here to tell the truth. You know, obviously, these feasts of the Catholics, they have drenched everyone, and it's time to shed these pagan isms. Passover is such a beautiful thing of God. You know, Passover is the time when, of course, on the 14th is when they, I'll go back to the 10th of Aviv, when they first got the lamb, and they examined him for 4 days. Just like when the Lord was examined by the high priest. Everything is symbolic, pointing to Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah. So from the 10th to the 14th, they examined him, just like they examined the lamb for 4 days. It's the way they did it. Of course, they could find no fault in the Messiah, just like the lamb has no spot or blemish. Amen. And of course, at the end of that situation, I'm just going to give a short scenario. Of course, the Lord is put on the tree, known as the cross. And of course, this is on Aviv 14. He's slain in the evening, just like the lamb was slain in the evening, a lamb without spot or blemish. And this is so important to let everyone understand that if you read your Bibles, it says, what is Passover? Christ is our Passover. Everything is pointing to the Messiah, the lamb without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And it's very important. You know, people don't understand that the Messiah was taken down exactly the time when the Sabbath was about to start. They took him off the tree. And that's why, I don't know if people read their Bibles when they go to the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 56. That's Luke 23, 56. It says, they prepared spices and ointments, and they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Like when people read that, I think that it just read right over it, that it's not a suggestion, but it's a commandment, the Sabbath. And this is pertaining to the 15th day of Aviv, which was a high Sabbath. Now, this there was two Sabbaths in a row at the time when the Lord died. And unfortunately, we have 3.5 billion Catholics. Even if they counted on their toes, they can't get 3 days and three nights from Sunday from Friday to Sunday morning. That's impossible mathematically. So the Passover, getting back to the Passover, people need to understand that Christ is your Passover. And the reason why we acknowledge this, because they are shadows of the Messiah. We do this in memorial. And at our congregation, we will be having bitter herbs. We will be having roasted lamb. And of course, it's wonderful to have unleavened bread and to understand what these all mean.
Now, Malachi, where do you find that menu? Where do you find it in the Bible?
Well, I believe we can go to the book of Exodus. Let's see. I could find you the verse. I take this right out of the Bible. That's one thing about the Bible. We don't like to add anything, or we don't like to diminish.
And the reason I'm asking you this, I mean, I know where you're going to go with this, but the reason I'm asking this question is because a lot of Protestant congregations, lately it's become a fad to invite a Messianic Jew to the church and have a Seder.
Right. Well, let me explain.
They've done their, you know, they feel like they've done their Jewish thing, and then
right.
Go ahead and do their Catholic Easter.
Well,
but when I hear about these seders, it doesn't sound like what I read in the Bible.
Exactly. What's going on with a lot of messianics? I want everyone to know that we're not messianics. We are Jews that believe in the Bible. That's all we are, and we're only messianic in the meaning when Yeshua has messianic prophecies about him. But we're not these messianics running around that inhale Judaism. You know what everyone's doing, Rick? They're having all these messianics. They call themselves messianic rabbis. Number one, that's a direct prohibition by Jesus, Yeshua. You're supposed to never be called rabbi. That means master. But they're teaching everyone Judaism. And Judaism is being the way where all these Baptists and all these people are being oohed and awed and they're being tricked right into Judaism. It's very sad. Like, even right this minute.
I told you, I don't like these hyphenated names that are given to various groups. You know, a Messianic Jew. You know, a Jew who now believes in a Messiah. Well, I'm not a Messianic pagan. I'm not a Messianic heathen. I was a heathen that now believes in the Messiah. But I don't go around calling myself a Messianic heathen.
Right. These terms that people just coined, I don't know when that was coined, many years ago.
You're saying there is one church.
There's one body.
There's one body, one church. Either you believe in Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jew or Gentile, or you don't. There's one body.
You know what a lot of Christians don't understand? This is not anything new. In other words, it's been through the whole Bible. Once a stranger, a non-Jewish person, a non-Israelite, joins the people of God, you become as the homeborn. There's no difference. I know that's very hard for people to digest. In the truest sense of the word, you become a real Jew that adheres to the word of God, accepts the God of Israel, says, like Ruth in the Bible, where you die, I will die, where you go, I will go. And they become a true Hebrew. A Hebrew comes from the word Eber, and Eber means from the region beyond. So basically, in the truest sense of the word, you are all Hebrews because you have come from the region beyond the old man of sin, and you have come to the new man, which is in Messiah. And this is what we keep trying to tell everybody, that we're supposed to be one. Unfortunately, there's pastors on TV. They distance themselves from Israel. They have Israel and the church. There is no such thing as Israel and the church. There's only one body.
That's absolutely.
And everyone does the same feasts. Everyone does the same calendar. However, it takes one person to start recognizing this. And I'm telling you, people hunger when they hear the truth, like this Passover that we'll be doing.
Let's talk about the Passover.
Well, what we eat comes from Exodus chapter...
I want our radio congregation to be participating next Tuesday night. So what do they need to have on the table?
Well, if you just go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 8, you see that you're supposed to have a lamb, you roast it, right? And then it says you're supposed to have unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall you eat it. There's three items, that's it. Now, Judaism's got a whole list of things for you to do and play little games and make cakes and, you know, just they try to make everything like just fluffy. And then the Messianics, without even questioning and everything, they don't mind adding or diminishing from the Word of God. So I tell people all the time, get away from this. They have people doing this thing called da'enu, which means it would have been enough. And it's not enough that God would have just... in other words, they don't want God to fulfill what he was supposed to fulfill. It would have just been enough if he just gave us a little bit. We didn't have to know about all these things. And there's so many things in the Bible that there's plenty of feasts in the Lord. That's why I can't understand why people want to do pagan feasts.
Malachi, what are the bitter herbs?
Bitter herbs, what we do is we actually go to a store and just one of the sisters of our congregation, she'll just pick out different herbs. I don't know exactly names of them. She'll just get any herbs that are bitter. There's no particular herbs. Because remember, we're doing this in memorial. Obviously, we don't actually go kill a lamb ourselves. This is all done in memorial because this has happened already. We're doing this because the Messiah is our Passover. And we do the unleavened bread because we definitely want to take leaven out of our houses because that teaches us a lesson that we want to get sin out of our life. And of course, we all know a couple of days later is when the priest waved the wave offering before the Lord, and that is the first fruits unto God, and it's always the morrow after the Sabbath. We have nothing against Yom Rishon, better known as Sunday. This is when the priest did it, and this is exactly when Yeshua, Jesus, rose from the dead. So this all corresponds to the Messiah. And then, of course, 50 days from the resurrection, we have a wonderful thing happen back in the days of the Moses. The Torah was given in the third month of God called Sivan. In the Jesus' time, or I should say the apostles' time, 50 days from the resurrection was the Holy Ghost given in the book of Acts.
Now, Malachi, if I'm correct, Pentecost this year will be May 23rd.
Okay. I could double. Let me see. I have that right here. I'll be doing Pentecost. Let's see here. I have it written down. I want to make sure I say.
Pentecost is when the fire of God fell upon the church, the Holy Ghost fire, the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon the church and Jerusalem. And
yes.
Is it May 23rd?
Let's see. Pentecost. No. Pentecost is going to be in, let's see, May 27th.
Okay.
So May 27th, it's a Sunday, and this Sunday, believe it or not, is a Sabbath. So there's two Sabbaths in a row, the weekly Sabbath, and Sunday is going to be a Sabbath. Pentecost is a Sabbath. Now, the question I have for church people is, I don't even know any churches that even acknowledge Pentecost. I mean, they don't even talk about the Holy Ghost came down. Or the Torah was given on Mount Sinai. Do you know churches that celebrate Pentecost?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Where I am, my part of Tennessee, is most churches, it's nothing.
We're here at Church of God territory.
Okay.
Celebrate Pentecost. Hey, I want to, in the remaining minutes, I want to read a couple quotes from early church leaders, because I want our listeners to understand that what I'm saying is documented, that the Roman Catholic Church instituted the Sunday Easter and named it Easter, which, again, is named after the goddess Ishtar. The early church never had the word Easter. It was Passover. And, in fact, the Greek Orthodox to today even call it Pascha. Now, I'm going to quote three different early church leaders. First, Polycarp, who lived in the years 69 to 156 B.C., Polycarp was the bishop of the Church of Smyrna. He was a friend of Ignatius, and he was a disciple of the Apostle John, which means that he literally heard the gospel, received the gospel from the mouth of John. Polycarp was arrested at a very old age, and he was burned at the stake because he would not renounce his faith and belief in the Messiah. Now, the second person I want to quote is Polycrates. He was a bishop in the second century, bishop of Ephesus. Now, I'm reading from the Dictionary of Early Christian Beliefs, and it says, Polycrates, bishop of Ephesus, who opposed Victor, now listen to this, bishop of Rome, when Victor attempted to coerce all Christians to conform to Rome's date for celebrating Easter. The third one is Ignatius, bishop of the church at Antioch, and a personal disciple of one or more apostles. He was executed in Rome. On his way to Rome as a prisoner, Ignatius wrote letters to churches. These letters give considerable insight into the structure and beliefs of the churches in Asia Minor at the close of the Apostolic Age. So now, let me read some of these quotes about Passover and Easter. This first one is from Irenaeus, and he said, when the blessed Polycarp was visiting Rome in the time of Anicetus, they were at once well inclined towards each other, not willing that any quarrel should arise between them. For Anicetus could not persuade Polycarp to forego the observance of Passover, inasmuch as these things had always been observed by John, the disciple of our Lord, and by other apostles with whom he had been conversant. And then this one, this is Polycrates. As for us then, we scrupulously observe the exact day, neither adding nor taking away. For in Asia, great luminaries have gone to their rest, who will rise again on the day of the coming of the Lord. They all kept Passover on the 14th day in accordance with the gospel. Malachi.
Yes.
It's in the historical records of the church.
Well, it's Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 5:7. He also did Passover, and that's after the resurrection. He also did Pentecost. It's all through the book of Acts. So people that don't want, if they want to follow Apostle Paul, I would think that would be a good, wise choice.
I'm going to preach the apostles' doctrine.
Amen.
I'm preaching the apostles' doctrine. My prayer every single day is, oh Lord, teach me the apostles' doctrine, that what I teach on this radio program is what Paul taught to the churches.
Amen.
I don't want to teach and preach what the Pope is teaching. I don't want to be a disciple of the Pope. I want to be a disciple of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua. And I want to teach and preach the apostles' doctrine. And I'm telling you, my friends, the early church, the apostles and the early church kept Passover. And they did not keep this so-called Roman Catholic Easter. And if you are keeping Easter, you are in alignment with the Pope. So join with us next Tuesday night, and we will have a Passover service here on True News. Have for yourself roasted lamb, unleavened bread, bitter herbs, and the juice of the grapes.
Yes, and make sure you remember Yeshua.
Absolutely. It's all about the Messiah.
Amen.
That His blood is over us, on us, covering us. His blood was shed for us on Passover. Our Messiah is our Passover.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I believe we're headed into some very serious trouble very, very soon. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow on True News.